In English, just once more, at the cross. It's amazing, eh?
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden from my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
A mighty hand to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. At the cross, where I did what? I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And now I'm happy all the day. Let's give just another hand to Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. Amen. In a moment, we shall be reading the scriptures. Let me welcome the young people, primary school and high schools, who are now on their break. They have just finished their second term, and they'll be going into the third term of the year. You know, this year, the calendar has been kind of mixed up, but we thank God our kids are making progress. And so, karibuni sana. There are those who are in the youth sanctuary. There are others who are following from home. And we welcome you home big time. And we pray that you'll all have a good time. And also, congratulate those who are graduating Nairobi University. I know this Friday that's happening. And also USIU, plus other campuses around the country and maybe out of the country as well. We congratulate you. God bless you big time. We know it's a happy time, and we rejoice with you. Those who are traveling and have been, like Deacon Wairago here, you just come back from Europe. Those who are traveling and you are outside the country, or you are planning to travel out of the country from here, may God give you a great trip. We are reading from Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. In the NIV version, it says the following, Esther chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace, and I thank God she went all the way in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter. That word. That was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you." "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." "Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked her, "Now what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request?" "Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted," Esther replied. "My petition and my request is this: if the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." Father, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate that again we are in peacetime as a nation and are able to gather successfully on Sundays. Thank you, Lord, that you've granted us breath and life, and that, Father, we can hear your word. And Lord, as we celebrate the fact that we can gather and hear your word, I am praying that your spirit now rests upon us, and that, God, you quicken this word, that rima, life, flows out of it. Like John 6:63 says, "These words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." And that this life will quicken something within us, and that we shall live strong. Those who are following the service in Europe, in the Americas, in Asia, Middle East, in Australia, Indonesia, across Africa, and across Kenya, that together as a family, Lord, we shall be re-energized. Because we've prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we all say, amen. Amen. We may have our seats. Remember, like we say always, that you are looking good, and I mean it, better than yesterday and tomorrow. You look better, and you'll do what? Wear shade because of a matter. Petitioning the King of Kings, petition with boldness, petition with precision, and petition with expectation. Petition with boldness, petition with precision, and petition with expectation. Petitioning the King of Kings. Today we are looking at the Esther action. It's a young lady who petitions the king on behalf of her nation. And royal citizens, we have a great opportunity to petition our Heavenly Father on matters across the board, the whole spectrum of issues. We can bring them before God, and God will not say, this one not to me. God has opened his gates, and God is waiting for royal citizens to come to his presence and petition him regarding certain things. I even dare say, put a demand note on him on the basis of his promise and on the basis of his word, and be able to call the resources of the kingdom of God to bear within the life that we live here on planet Earth. And so we thank God for Esther, and thank God for many Esthers of today who take time to petition the King of Kings. Now let me just give us a little background to the size of the petition that Esther is actually bringing, because it's a petition related to the preservation of a nation. There is an existential threat, and it is real, and it is the 11th hour. It appears like it's gone over the cliff, and it appears like it is irreversible. And I want us to understand that the assignment that Esther is undertaking here is not a small one, but through prayer, we can accomplish more than our own resources can accomplish. Through petition, we are able to bring change that is clear, that is observable, and change that affects people in real time. This background, if I go back to chapter 4 from verse 12, it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Mordecai was Esther's uncle. She was also Esther's coach and mentor. She's the one who had brought up Esther, the guardian as well. He sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, don't just think because you are inside that king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance of the Jews for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time such as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews. And this is where we get the Esther fast. When you hear people talk about the Esther fast, which is normally 3 days, and you don't eat, you don't drink, it's a dry fast, this is where it comes from. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king. Even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and mobilized people, carried out of all of Esther's instructions. This is the background. Esther is about to present a very important petition to King Xerxes. And just showing up anyhow was risky business. And so she calls for prayer and fasting. The matter at hand is a very serious matter whose intervention is needed at the highest level. And I want to thank God for us royal citizens, because we are able to bring matters at the highest levels, not just before the kings of the planet Earth, but also the King of the universe, the King of Kings, and his name is Jesus. So Esther must bring this matter there because there is nowhere else this matter can actually be handled. And I say that this matter is serious because earlier on in chapter 3 of Esther, you will hear this name Haman. And Haman has worked out a plot to annihilate or to destroy or finish the Jewish nation. And as you know, John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So this lady, young lady, by the way, Esther, must bring a petition that reverses what Haman has set up. And it is the 11th hour. It appears like nothing can actually be done to reverse what Haman has set up. So in chapter 3, verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman harbored the whole idea of destroying all the Jews throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, the Pur, that is the Lord, was cast in the presence of Haman to select a day. Now they even chose a day to do it, and month. And the Lord fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, there is a certain people dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury. So the king took his signet ring. He had a ring. He took his signature or signet ring from his finger and actually transferred it, gave it to Haman, this evil worker, an evil schemer, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And he said, keep the money. He said that to Haman, and go ahead and do as you please. In other words, he was given a blank check. Go sign, seal, give whatever edicts you need to give, and do it. And this guy does not hesitate. Then on the 13th day, verse 12, of the first month of the royal secretaries, there was someone. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps and the governors of various provinces and the nobles of various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by courier to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so that they would be ready for that day. And that command or those letters were very quickly dispatched by couriers, and that has already happened by the time Esther is doing what we call the Esther action. And let me say, this young girl achieved so much, and it's amazing what royal citizens, each one of us here in the kingdom of God, can achieve even at the 11th hour when we feel we are dealing with something so gigantic, something so big that we feel like it's almost irreversible. And so Esther is petitioning the king. And there are three things I want us to note. First of all, petition with boldness. Petition. A petition is a request made to an authority to do or change something. It is just simply a request, and it's made to an authority to do or change something. Petition with boldness. In verse 1 to 3 of the chapter I read, chapter 5, on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood. She prepared herself. She was looking good and looking royal, and stood in the inner court of the palace. So she took a step and she went in front of the king's hall. There was the outside court, there was the hall, and there was where the king was facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached, went near, touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to have the kingdom, I can give you half the kingdom and to be given to you." This is a bold move. I'm telling you, it was not easy. It was risky business for a girl like Esther to actually just make her way to the king's throne. People would be killed, actually, if they try to do this. But this girl makes a very, very bold move. God wants us to petition him, to make a demand note on him on the basis of his promises with boldness. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, this is what the Bible says. As we have a high priest, it is not King Xerxes for us, it is the high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now look at verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Esther's petition needs a bold person, and Esther is bold. She takes a step at the, risk of her own life, and she says, "What is going on? I must bring it not to any lesser authority, but to the king himself, because nobody else can reverse what has been stamped with the signet ring of the king. So I must get to the king." And she comes very boldly, and not just from a distance, she comes all the way, and finally, the king stretches his scepter, and the head of the scepter facing Esther, and she stretches her hand and touches the end of that scepter, like we have actually seen in the scripture. And you know, prayer touches God's scepter. The scepter of the King of Kings, the way to touch it is through prayer, when you present your petition. In fact, this one reminds me of a lady who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and nobody could handle her problem. And let me say, there is no problem God cannot handle. In Mark chapter 5, verse 27, and this lady came from behind, Jesus, there was a big crowd, and she navigates and wades through the crowd. She's very bold, she's so strong, and she knows where her problem will be solved, and nobody's going to stop her. And in verse 27, the Bible says, she came from behind because she heard about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Verse 28, because she thought, if I just touch the tip of his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, the Bible says, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, because there was power that moved from Jesus. There was healing balm. The flow of healing anointing, it flowed from Jesus into this lady's life. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked this question, "Who touched me? Who is this that touched me?" I want to say the bold will touch the king. The bold will touch the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God is calling here this morning or this afternoon for us to be bold as we come to the king. I was looking at the whole idea of a scepter. It's a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of power. is like when it's stretched like this, and then you touch the tip of it, power flows, some authority power flows from the king and comes all the way to the subject. And I was reading about the scepter of Queen Elizabeth that is actually placed on her coffin in Westminster House, just, I believe, in London. And on that coffin, there is a crown, and there is a scepter, and there is a cross. Now, the scepter at the end, the head of it, has a diamond. And this diamond is the world's largest diamond that is mounted in that place. The world's largest clear diamond. And by the way, it came from Africa. And it was taken from Africa. Over 100 years ago, around 1901, about 120 years ago, it was taken from here. And it is actually called the Great Star of Africa, the Cullinan. Yes, it is right there. And when the queen would be holding that scepter, she would be holding the symbol of her authority and her power. And therefore, this lady understands that you don't just walk around the room and do a hit and miss. You just go do a zinger for the setter. And she went for it. I can see this girl scurrying along, coming very quickly, because there is favor by that extension, and she knows what to do. She goes and reaches out and touches that setter. Now, that is bold. Petition with boldness. There is so much God wants to do, but he's waiting for someone who will touch him with boldness. And there is no small prayer or big prayer. The other time, I addressed this girl who is here, back here, and she's writing very nice notes. By the way, she wrote, and after the service, you gave me the paper. And it's very interesting. At this level, you know the things that are noted. There is no small prayer, and there is no big prayer. The prayer of a young girl like this can save a nation. Hallelujah. And young people who are here, your prayers will save your family. As she was touching that tip, what was she doing? She was calling in the power and authority of the king into her situation and into her need. Restoration, salvation, healing, deliverance, breakthroughs, hope, success, preservation can only come from God. People try to do things in their own strength. The other Wednesday when I was preaching here on the 7th, I believe, of September, during the prayer service, I said, let God do the heavy lifting. We were not designed to do the heavy lifting. You know, there are a lot of people trying to do the heavy lifting with their emotions, with their mind, with their spirit, with their body, with their finances, with their knowledge. But then they find that there is a limit to what you can do. But I thank God for Esther's who know where to go and how to get there. I want to say that there is one who has a solution to that matter that is in your life that is so difficult, so challenging, and so complicated. And let me say it boldly here today. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, the Bible says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I do what? I will give you rest. Petition with boldness. But second, petition with precision. Petition with precision. In chapter 5, verse 4, this is royal articulation. We must be very clear as we come to the presence of God. Bring Haman at once in chapter 5, verse 4. If it pleases the king, replied Esther, let the king together with Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for him. Then the king, of course, goes ahead and says, bring Haman at once. Petition with precision. Oftentimes, we have this great privilege in the royal presence to make a difference and a profound difference in our own families and lives. But we go in circles and we say everything else except what we really need. God wants you to be precise. God wants you to say what your need is. As a pastor, I meet many people. We talk over many things. And oftentimes, people come to my office and they start from very far. And half an hour down the road, I think we are about through, and I say, it's time to pray. Let us pray now so that I can release you. And then the person says, Pastor, actually, the reason that I am here. And then they start a story. And I'm there wishing they just came, arrived, and went straight to the matter. Esther is not beating about the bush. Esther knows Haman is the instigator of the evil plan against her nation. And therefore, she will not beat about the bush. She will not call Haman another name. She says, I want to have a meal with you, the king, and with Haman. This is a lady who is just straight on point. Remember, this is a man who has planned all this big plan of a gallow to hang Mordecai, and also sent letters for the destruction of the whole nation of Israel. You must call it by its name. Whatever that matter is, if you have a chronic disease and this is a real threat to your life, and they are saying you are counting days, you have just another 1 month. Right now, even as I'm sharing this word, if you are online, if you are here, let us do the Esther action. It is precision action. You are presenting a precise petition, and it is a precise request. Wherever you are right now, whatever that issue is, it may have been called chronic or whatever it is, by people here on earth, mention it by name. Just simply mention it by name. If it is your son who is struggling or your daughter, mention him, mention her by name. If it is your marriage that's really on the rocks, just simply say it instead of going round in circles. And that's why Jesus said, when you come to pray, don't use too many words. Matthew chapter 5. Let me see what Matthew chapter 5 says from verse 5. Matthew chapter 5. If I can get it on the screen. I think I have missed it a little. There's the one that says, don't babble so many words. You know? Don't say too many words. Don't be like pagans. Don't say too many words. Just simply say what you need. Replace that with Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 51 and 52. Not going in circles. If there is a specific problem, just say, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking blind Bartimaeus. Of course, Jesus can see Bartimaeus is blind. Rabbi, I want to see. And I love Bartimaeus because he goes straight and he says, I want to see. Go say, Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. If you want God to answer precisely so that the nations can see a precise testimony, if you want to see the hand of God applied in a specific way, then you and I need to learn to pray precisely. And we need to teach our children to pray precisely. There is this school of thought where we think the longer the prayer, the better the prayer. Many of the prayers Jesus prayed were very precise. If it is for bread, multiplying bread, he just went to the subject straight and thanked God, and the bread actually multiplied. If you look at the healings that he did, he went straight to the need and he sorted it out. Here in the case of blind Bartimaeus, he actually sorted it out. And you know what? Because Esther mentioned Haman, immediately in the spiritual realms, there must have been a whole host of angels that were immediately arranged to begin to dismantle the whole mission, the whole plot, the whole plan of Haman. You may be here and in a family where a whole plot, a whole mission has been set up against you over time, and it's just been a big struggle. What is needed is for you to mention it by name. Figure out what it is. Mention it as it is. Then God will answer precisely. It is not that God doesn't hear. God hears and God understands. God knows what you need, but he's waiting for your petition. God is waiting for that precise petition. Nehemiah chapter 2. When Nehemiah, you know, the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates were burnt. Nehemiah had a burden. And then he was there in front of the king. He needed to say something. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. It's amazing what the Bible says. chapter 2, from verse 3. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are is buried and lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? And you know, when he was asked that question by this king, there was a lightning prayer, a very short prayer. Then I prayed to the God of heaven. That's how it summed up. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, now because of that encouragement, he added some other things. If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide for me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the Bible says the king did what? The king granted my request. Esther, Nehemiah, God is waiting. Royal citizens, God is waiting for that specific petition. Today, as I lead us through this sermon, I am inviting us to petition the King of Kings. And at the end, when I finish, I will be setting up a moment where we can actually bring those petitions to God. And you know, how you know that you have released your petition is when you find peace over a matter. You release it completely. Sio ile ya kuachilia, alafu you go back fishing. You know, we pray and then after that, you pick the same burden. Does that sound familiar? You have prayed, released your son to God, and you're saying this problem is so big. God, I don't know what to do. I feel a disconnect, or your daughter or somebody else in your family, and you pray, you release, and then emotionally you now again pick it. You go to your office, you can't work from morning until evening, and you're so anxious, and you're so worried. How you know that you have released a matter fully, a petition to God, is when you experience peace. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7, I quote it all the time. Have no worry. What does it say? Don't worry about, yes, here. Do not be anxious about anything. But, let's read together. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God give you peace. Shalom, shalom, shalom. As we release these petitions, may God give you peace. I believe somebody is receiving this. Yes, this is for somebody. You came to the church and there was a matter that was so heavy. I'm saying here, you can't do the heavy lifting. And if you keep working on it, it's going to mess up your emotional world. You get depressed. You get ulcers. You know, you start forgetting things. Life becomes very, very difficult. God wants to give you peace that passes all understanding. A precise, precision petition. Released to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is what Esther does. She's doing it on behalf of many. But finally, of course, petition with expectation. Verse 5 to 8. In chapter 5, bring Haman at once, the king said, so that we may do what Esther asks. What you have asked and petitioned must be solved very quickly. So the king and Haman went to the banquet and Esther had prepared. And they were drinking wine. The king again asked Esther, now what is your petition? There is a sense of suspense. Esther is amazing. It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. Esther replied, my petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, Let the king and Haman come tomorrow. Now another time. Come tomorrow to the banquet. I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's request. Petition with expectation. Let me tell you, when this girl is presenting her petition, she knows the king is going to answer even before it is done. How do I know it? Because the first meal, the first banquet, was actually prepared before she even went in. In other words, by the time she's entering the throne where the king is, she's already prepared the meal. The servants are there. They have laid the tables. The wine is there. The food is there. Because she knows, I am entering this place, but I'm not coming out without an answer. And that is why we should petition with expectation. I say it in the first service. If your child doesn't have school fees and they must report back to school, like now they have come for holidays, they're going back and there is no school fees, what you do, just tell your child, pack your things. And by the way, I'm telling you things I have done as a father, real things I've done. Tell your child, pack your things, get ready, you are going to school. At that time, you have nothing in your pocket. And what you do, you go to your prayer corner and you say, my God, you have said in Psalms 37 verse 25, I have been young and I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. My God, I put a demand note and I petition that funds be provided for my child to go back to school. And because that is your throne room where you are praying, maybe your bedroom, and you are there and you're kneeling, and you say, I am not getting out of here, Lord, before something has come through. It's like Elijah on Mount Carmel, and he's praying with expectation for rain. And seven times he sends his servant, and the servant comes back and says, I see nothing. Until the seventh time, Elijah is not leaving the prayer place. The seventh time, I see a cloud, size of a man's hand. And Elijah knows the rain is actually coming. And he tells, go tell Ahab to hike his chariot and go to Jezreel. And you know, that's what happened. Shortly after that, big clouds, a lot of rain, and rain happened. Let me say this. When you pray with expectation, then God responds according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage us, children of God, instead of fighting and dying with issues, learn to go to the corner of prayer as a royal citizen and say, I am your child, I am your son, and my inheritance is in your hands. Why should I struggle and suffer with this? And in that place of prayer, you say, Lord, my God, come through. This coming week, may I decree and declare that our petitions are all being answered in the name of Jesus Christ. And even now, for the person for whom it is the 11th hour, I want to say God has taken over. That matter you're struggling with, God has taken over. In your heart, say, the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord. And that's why the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. And at some point he told the Israel, these Egyptians you're seeing now, you will never see them again. Exodus 14, verse 14, verse 13 and verse 14. And God was serious with what he was saying. And that's what this preacher is saying here today. You know, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you. Then the next, it goes on to say, today, the Egyptians you see, you'll never see them again. Then verse 14, the Lord will lure, will fight for you. You need only to be still. So that battle you have been fighting, release it. Release it. Expect the Lord to take over and expect the Lord to minister. Numbers 23:19, our God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. As he said, will he not do it? As he spoken, will he not fulfill it? God is coming through. Simply believe. James chapter 1 verse 6-8 talks about the danger and risk of doubt. Doubt is not a good thing. It's a bad virus. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. In fact, in the Greek, in other word places, it is the same word used for a drunk person and a person who is not walking straight. So they are kind of unstable. They are kind of struggling. And here the picture of a wave that's just rolling, you know, is compared to somebody who doubts. And so for Abraham, it was said, although he was old, he still had not gotten a child. God had promised. He knew in his heart that child will come despite the biology. You know what was happening around him. Together with his wife, he still knew God would come through. And I want to say to somebody here, God is surely coming through. Did you hear that? God is surely coming through. Glory to God. So it says, no doubt made Abraham stagger concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong, fully persuaded that God was able to do that which he had promised. Petition with expectation. And that's why, Deacon Wairago, thanks for sharing that message on giving the other day. I normally say, even when you're giving your gifts, tithes, and offerings, give them a name. Petition with expectation. You are giving, and you're saying, God, you have said, I give, and you shall give back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. My expectation, as I give this Sunday, or you're giving online, you can speak into that giving, and you say, my expectation, God, because there's nowhere else I can go, is that this, the following come through. And I want to say, our God is faithful. Hallelujah. He never fails. So my finishing word is that he never failed Esther. And that petition mission was not in vain. If you actually read later, you will see the flurry of actions. All of a sudden, reversing a whole enterprise of evil and a whole kingdom that was supposed to destroy the Jewish nation, there is a reversal. James wrote and he said, resist the devil and he'll do what? He'll flee. Let me say this, and I'm serious about this. That scripture simply means this, that you can take a position wherever you are, business, home, school, neighborhood, and you actually push back the borders of darkness. It is possible. Esther is doing it. You and I can do it. You actually push the boundaries of darkness, and you can actually say, you don't belong here. You are no longer. The tenancy is broken. I give you a quit notice, and within this territory here, you will never function. Did you know that? You can actually take that kind of position. And Esther is this girl who is so bold, who is so precise, who is so expectant. And because she has come to the king, she's come to the right place, is the highest authority in the land, the king is able to reverse, the king takes over, and there is a reversal across the whole nation to the extent that there is a day, a festival called Purim, which is a celebration of victory. Esther's petition produced triumph. And there is a celebration called Purim. And let me say, because of your petition and prayer, your family will have a Purim in the name of Jesus Christ. There will be a celebration. Even in your own personal life, there will be a celebration. Let God do the heavy lifting. And that is what Esther does as she comes before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am praying in just a moment. But remember those three things. Petitioning the King of Kings. Petition with boldness. Petition with precision. And petition with expectation. That S should be removed. Petition with expectation. Now those are the three things. And there is nothing too hard for God. Those of us, Mrs. Beatrice, think I hear, maybe you remember songs sung some time back. There's one song that we would sing like this. There is nothing too hard for you, dear God. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing, yes, nothing. There is nothing too hard for you. I'll just sing it once more. There is nothing too hard for you, dear God. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing, yes, nothing. There is nothing too hard for you. In Swahili, you can sing it, Hakuna jambo ngumu kwa Mungu. And if you want to do it in your mother tongue, like I did this morning in my bedroom, that's a song I was singing in the bedroom and kneeling in my corner. And I was just singing that song. There is nothing too hard for you, my God. Esther knows it. She knows where to go. She knows where to put the petition. 11th hour, a big order across the empire. But because of this petition, it is fully nullified. It is uprooted. It is overthrown. Aham ends up hanging on the gallows he actually created. Imagine that kind of reversal. And right now, the Haman spirit is being broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me online? The Haman spirit is being broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, it must not accomplish its plan. Its scheme is broken. This week, Monday all the way to Sunday, all Hamanic orders, edicts, and the signatures, they're all canceled. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I was kneeling there and praying and singing. There is nothing too hard. And I went even to my mother tongue. My mother tongue is interesting. Somebody understanding that language, the French I'm saying. Yeah? And your mother tongue, how does it go? Somebody here. Hallelujah. Sing it in your mouth. Linda, how does it go? Yeah? You don't know how, there's nothing too hard. Linda doesn't have a mother tongue. Yeah? Sing it in any language, but understand the message. A young girl, bold, precise, expectant, leads to a major reversal of what the enemy was trying to do. And here, as I lead us in a prayer, this petition we make is going to lead to a major reversal of anything ever set up against you. Because you are a royal citizen. You have access to the King of Kings. And as you come into his place, touch the tip of the scepter. You know, then authority is granted in favor. And you can now present your request. And God is saying, I can give you the whole kingdom. There's nothing I can't give you. You are a royal citizen. And you can take a stand today. Today we are taking a stand regarding our own issues, businesses, careers, a position you take for your family, for your neighborhood. I don't know what kind of petition, intercession that you desire to make, but I'm sensing an anointing, and I believe in prayer. As I'm doing this prayer, some are following online. If you're in the home, we are all doing it together. There is something, a special thing you're bringing before the Lord. It doesn't matter its size and how long it has lingered. God is telling me in the spirit, it is being broken today. If we can all rise together now, and we know we are standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then trust God together. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this pulpit of Parklands Baptist Church. And God, I thank you for the kingdom transactions that happen from this pulpit. Lord, I thank you for this Sunday and for leading us to the story of Esther, that young girl who took up an assignment bigger than her. And God, she brought it to the king, and the king handled it. I thank you for that girl, Esther, and the Esther action. We are the Esther of today. We are the Esthers in our own families. And God, you have raised us for a time such as this. As Parklands Baptist Church, and also individually and as families, my God, we come petitioning you, the King of Kings. And Lord, I thank you that you have highlighted and awakened somebody here in the sanctuary, in the pavilion, and also following online regarding a matter. And the time has come for eviction and to decree and declare quit orders and to reverse the whole plot of Haman and return to sender. The time has actually come. And this is the hour there is anointing and authority for the same. My God, I thank you for all who are listening to me and those who listen later. And I thank you that we have all put together in precision and in royal articulation what it is. And today, my brothers and sisters, the King of Kings is asking, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus said, I want to see. Now you know your position, you know what you're going through. It's a sickness, a financial situation, chronic financial situation. It is a matter at home, a matter in the business, out in your workplace. There is a Haman spirit in your workplace that seeks to bring you down. You understand what it is. Say it in your heart with precision. Say it is Haman. Just like Esther did not mince words. And she said, Haman, this man, Haman. And she just went to the crux of the matter. God is waiting for you to just articulate it. And this time, under anointing, in your heart, if you want to verbalize it, you can actually make it verbal. Somebody in their house and you're following the service, you can shout it and scream it. There is something that needs to take off from that family that has been disturbing that family for a long time. This is the hour of deliverance. It is the hour of preservation. And there is the Esther anointing that brings deliverance and brings preservation. It also brings restoration. And it also brings protection. It is based on a 3-day fast. Hallelujah. And God, thank you for preparing me the last 3 days to be able to stand here and release this anointing, the Esther action. My God, I thank you because we are connecting. And somebody is taking a position wherever they are. You are the Esther in this day. And God is saying he has raised you for a time such as this. As you articulate now with expectation, release it into the hands of God. And like I said, you can't do the heavy lifting. Those weights will break you. Those weights will destroy you. Yet there is a king who is able to handle that matter. The battle belongs to the Lord. Just release it. For somebody saying, no, I can't. It's too hard. Somebody offended me. I just can't. Release it under the anointing in your own strength. You're not able to do it. But God is able to make you release it. Father, I thank you for all these petitions that have now come to this basket here at Parklands Baptist Church and also in the homes wherever this service is being followed. Lord, receive now and by faith and with expectation. I want you to in your spirit, to have an act of presentation where you're just presenting and you remove your hands. Just quickly remove your hands from it. Let me tell you, a flurry of activity now begins to happen. Father, thank you. Because you're commissioning angels. Somebody has struggled for so long, but now, God, you've taken over. And you're commissioning angels to ensure the Haman spirit is broken, the backbone and the yoke of that spirit, and destroyed at a gallows, never to rise again. But also to ensure celebration, restoration, breakthroughs, open doors. My God, I thank you because you are doing it. And Father, I thank you that we have all released what we need to release today, and we are leaving this service with peace that passes all understanding. Now, because we have done the Esther action, it is time to receive the blessing. If you can lift your hands to God, my God, I thank you that by faith we can link up like the lady Esther who stretched her hand to touch the head of the scepter. Now we are touching the blessing that comes from the scepter of the king. Lord, we thank you. And by faith, now we can receive the blessing that comes from you. Ephesians 1:3, you say, I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. My God, we receive directly from the throne room every blessing in the heavenly realms. My God, the blessing of a new door opening, the blessing of a new level, the blessing of good health, the blessing of restoration, the blessing of tears being white, the blessing of new strength, the blessing of going to another place. the blessing of answered prayer. God, we receive this blessing. You can keep mentioning that blessing that you desire. You can continue that blessing. My God, the heavens are open, and these blessings are coming like rain. They are coming like showers. They are falling upon every one of us, and we are receiving them. We are leaving this place blessed. On Monday, you are blessed. On Tuesday, you are blessed. On Wednesday, you are blessed. Thursday, you are blessed. Saturday, Friday, you are blessed. Saturday, you are blessed. Sunday, you are blessed. The whole week, you are covered by the blessing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you, my God, for this blessing. And receive it. And hear what I say. The devil can do nothing about it. Numbers 23, verse 20 says, I have blessed and it cannot be reversed. Those blessings have been released and they cannot be reversed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, my Father, I thank you because you have dismantled all the booby traps, all the landmines, every scheme of hell. It has been dismantled. And as you leave this sanctuary, as you leave, you're going through a super highway, totally cleared by the Lord. You will rise from one degree of glory to a higher one in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father. Glory to God. Let's say the words of the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you.